Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas. Today, I am joined by my sister-in-law, Heather Brinton. I've had the privilege of knowing her up close and personal over the last 10 plus years that she's been a part of our family. In this episode, she shares with us her journey of stepping away from social media and experiencing a great deal of freedom in her personal life. So Heather, I wanted to start by asking you to share a little bit about what your life looks like today on a day-to-day basis. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. So I live in Tyler, Texas, and I have been married to Cooper for almost 10 years. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary in April. And we have two boys, Cooper, who is 5 and a half, and then Daniel, who just turned 4. I work full-time right now. Just started back full-time in August for the first time since I've had kids. I work with preschool teachers, and I coach and train them. It's been a really great fit. So my boys are in school full-time, and they really love it. And I also work part-time for Young Life. I run Young Lives in Tyler, which is Young Life's program for teenage moms.
Awesome. Okay, and hopefully we're going to get to talk more about that later. I want to start by just asking you, if I was to look at your phone right now, there might be some apps that are common to a lot of us that maybe we say we have on our phone and we use on a daily basis, but I wouldn't find them on your phone. So tell me a little bit about that and what those are.
Yeah, so I do not have any social media apps on my phone. So no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no TikTok. I don't know all the things that people have
all
these
of the
days.
Names.
Yes,
yeah.
But I don't. I don't do any social media.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how you got to that place.
If you would have looked on my phone 2.5 years ago, those apps would have been there, and you would have seen me scrolling on them all the time. So, about 2.5 years ago, I decided to get off social media. And my initial reason to get off social media was not a very honorable or good one. It was kind of a tough time in my marriage. There were some things that led up to it, to where I ended up just kind of being like, I'm just going to get off social media, you know, kind of like mm-hmm. in spite almost mm-hmm. like, will this make things better? Mm-hmm. And so, I deleted them off my phone. It was just this kind of raw and hard time for me personally. I was kind of, I was being humbled in a lot of ways in my personal life and in my marriage. And, I was just kind of frustrated and angry about it at first. And so I deleted them off my phone, and that was that. My kids were younger, you know, 2.5 years ago. And so I had, a place just up on my mantle that I always kind of put my phone, cause they were still at the age where they were going to take it and likely break it.
Right.
So I would kind of keep it up and out of the way. And, I had deleted them off, and I realized every time that I walked by the mantle, I grabbed my phone, and then I would just stare at it like, what am I doing? I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. Why am I picking up my phone? And I would just put it back down and, you know, go do whatever it
right.
is that I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I was a stay-at-home mom fully at that point. So play with my kids, whatever, do laundry. Mm-hmm. And I just began thinking, like, I really feel like this is, it's this impulse, this lack of control. I'm just grabbing for my phone because that's what I would always do. And so I started thinking, like, I don't really think that it was very healthy, the amount of time that I was putting in to social media. And so over the next, like for those first 3 months, I did not, like, as much as I wanted to put them back on my phone, I didn't. And I was like, I'm just going to see how this changes my day to day.
At the beginning, how often would you say you were grabbing your phone when you initially took those off, those apps off?
I mean, every single time I walked by my mantle.
So more than maybe twice a day. Like you're talking
regularly. Oh, I'm talking multiple.
Every couple minutes kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I noticed is that I would pick up my phone to take a picture or a video, and then I would think, why exactly am I doing this? Why am I taking this picture? And the more I started thinking about it, I was like, man, I used to document like the strangest things, like the tiny things that, well, if I'm not going to post it and I'm not going to have somebody comment or like it, do I really care to have this picture on my phone? Mm-hmm. Or do I care to have this 10-second video saved in my memories? And not to say I still take pictures of my children.
Right.
And of course I want the memories, but it was more just this realization of when you really think about it, like, why was it that I was, you know, kind of documenting every single little thing? And it just wasn't necessary anymore for me to do that.
So, okay, I've heard you say, you know, in talking about before you took these apps off your phone, I've heard you use the word addicted. And I know that's a strong word and you don't use that lightly, but I'd love for you just to define that a little bit more in the context of what it used to look like. And now that you have kind of new lenses as you look back on it, and maybe even just to give our listeners just some help to go, well, okay, I use my phone throughout the day. How would I even kind of define if this is something that maybe I really am addicted to?
Yeah, so I think that I started using that word, just thinking back through how I literally would pick it up every time I passed it. And now if my phone dings from a text message or an email, or I get a phone call, I'm going to go pick up my phone and, you know, deal with whatever it is that's on it. But when you're talking about social media, it's just, it's not necessarily because it is dinging or ringing. You're just impulsively picking it up and scrolling. And so I think I just realized that this was something that I wasn't even thinking, I wasn't even consciously deciding to do it. It was such a part of what I was doing all throughout the day that I was just doing it without thinking about it. And to me, that I would define that as being addicted because it was this pull almost that felt like I wasn't in control.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So how did that affect you? Because we know scientifically that when we see likes and comments, that that does something to our brain.
I feel like once I started kind of peeling back these layers, I realized how much I was finding my identity and worth in the likes and the comments. And I kind of wrestled with, like, it's fun. There's people that live far away that love to see, you know, my kids and what I'm doing. And it's not that this is bad, but I think that when I really was honest with myself, that I would post things and then check constantly who liked it. What did they have to say about it? Does this make them think that I'm awesome? Does this make them think that my kids are super cool and cute, you know, or smart, or whatever it is that I posted about, like, I wanted people to like the fact that I took them to the park and it was sunny and 76 degrees. But I mean, it's just like when you really are honest with yourself, right. You're like, man, I was basing my identity and my worth and my day, whether it was good or bad, on the fact if I had a postable moment or not.
Right. And then that instant gratification of,
yes,
wow, these people liked that. And they thought I was an awesome mom and a great wife. And I look really cute while I'm doing it. And
you know, wearing my workout clothes and I worked out today and everybody needs to know. Right. And my kid is now pooping on the potty and everybody needs to know. Okay. I mean, it's just, like I said, I don't think it's this evil, horrible thing, but I think when I was really honest with myself in my own life, it just was not healthy for me anymore. And really where I need to be finding my worth is in Christ. And the people that should be speaking into my life are people that I'm seeing day to day. It's my husband. It's my close friends. It's my life group. It's my family. It's not the hundreds of people that look at my life from the outside in.
So we've talked a little bit about how you personally saw the negative effect over time. And it wasn't until you began to step away from social media and kind of the power your phone had over you that then there was room to kind of see your life through a different lens.
I feel like giving it up completely, it's almost like it added more hours to my day. And, you know, they have this thing now on the iPhone that shows your weekly
your
screen time or whatever. And even, y'all, even without social media, like, I'm convicted by my average weekly screen time. And, you know, and that's work email and text messaging. You know, but Target app and whatever, every Starbucks app, every time you open it, you know, it's tracking it. But, like, I cannot imagine what my weekly report would have looked like when I was on social media. Because each time I would walk by my mantle and I pick it up, if I had the app, it was going to be at least 5 minutes.
Right.
Sometimes it's going to be 20. Sometimes it's going to be an hour. It depends on how deep in something you get, right? Or if the kids are napping or whatever. And so I really, I feel like it added hours to my day. Like, all of a sudden, when I felt like I didn't have time to do the dishes and fold the laundry, I did the dishes and I folded the laundry in those 10 minutes instead of scrolling. I just felt more engaged with my children because when you're living behind the lens or camera of your phone, it feels like you're interacting with them. But when you take that away, it feels different. It feels more intimate and real. You know, I don't know. I feel like it just kind of changed everything. And like now my phone used to lose battery in the middle of the day, almost go down and I have to recharge it. Now my phone can last for a couple of days without having to recharge it. So I just feel like those little things are just more confirmation that for me, this was the right decision because my life is more full and intimate and real with the people that I live my day-to-day life with. When before, so much time was being stolen by looking at other people's lives, you know? And also, I feel like for me personally, when I would scroll again, like, you have to be honest with yourself because I think it's real easy just to think, oh, well, that's how it affected Heather. But it doesn't do that to my heart. Like, I would have probably said that 3 years ago. Like, oh, it's fine. Social media is great. It's good for me. I love it. You know, but like when I was really honest with myself, when I would scroll, a few things would happen. Either I am going to feel bad about myself in some way. Oh, I don't look like that. My home, y'all, I can't keep my home looking good. It's not my gift. And so when I would see somebody's home that's really well put together and trendy and beautiful, I'm going to start feeling like I'm not doing it right. Or parenting or whatever it was, I would either feel bad about something in my own life, or I would kind of feel pumped up and prideful.
You got a little ego boost.
Better, you know, or like, oh, my kids would never do that. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm working out and, you know, it would bring this kind of ugly, prideful side of myself. And so this beating myself down or pumping myself up, kind of two extremes that are neither are healthy, you know? And so, because really I wasn't using social media to keep up with people that were far away from me, which is what I hear a lot. Well, I have people that live far away from me, and so I want to be able to keep up. But really, if I looked at who was liking my stuff and commenting on my stuff, it mostly was people from Tyler.
Right.
You know? So then it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Because we could talk in person and we can know, you know, they know what's going on in my life. We don't need all of this. And so I just felt like, I mean, you were talking about kind of perspective. It wasn't good for me to be doing something that's going to cause me to beat myself down or cause me to be prideful. Wow. It wasn't good for me to do something that is taking hours away from my day.
Right.
It wasn't good for me to do something to where I felt like my worth and identity was in how many hearts, likes, or comments I got. I mean, just flat out, it wasn't healthy or good for my heart.
Wow. I love that so much because I love how you said that it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves, because we can use all of the arguments. I'm sitting here hearing everything you're saying, and it's causing me, who does have social media on my phone, and it is a presence in my life, for me to even question and kind of go, you know what? These are some really good things for me personally to think about. And I love how you said something about kind of time being stolen and then this time being given back to you. And really that was a choice, you know, that you made, that you had control over. And so I was just thinking, I want to just ask you this question. Maybe some of our listeners are even going, well, I could never do that, right? Or it just seems too impossible. I feel like it's something maybe I need to do, whether it's for an indefinite period of time or just for a week, to kind of get a new perspective. What would you say to somebody who's maybe in that boat of, I don't think I can do that. I want to, but I don't think I can.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that a lot. I've actually had several conversations where somebody is like, oh man, I wish I was strong enough to do that, you know? And really, my encouragement is you are strong enough to do it. Find some accountability. If you're like, hey, I need a week now, I think it's good. Now for me, like I said, when I first started, I didn't know.
It wasn't a noble choice.
Right. Yeah. Like I didn't know how it was affecting me until I stepped away. And that's why I chose never to go back. So if you're coming at it like, oh, I kind of think maybe this is unhealthy for me, maybe I need a little break. I know people that have taken a week, like you said, delete it off your phone, have somebody hold you accountable to where you don't put it back on and then delete it again.
Right.
Somebody who's going to know, like take a week of a break and just kind of see, just kind of track your day. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I getting done? How many times am I picking it up? And like, oh, I don't actually have that. I think that's a good place to start. I know people that have taken it off of their phone. That way they can only get on it on the computer. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're having to get on your computer, you're not going to do it as often.
Right.
You know, as we just constantly have our phones at hand. But really, it just comes down to a choice. If you really think that this is going to be good for you to take a break, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be the odd one out. It's okay.
Right.
I've learned that. It's right. Fine. Like, my life is still great. My relationships are still rich. My community is still good. My kids are still wonderful.
Right. You don't need to have 73 people better. Like it's, it to tell you that that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's scary. It's scary because you feel like, man, I'm going to miss out. And listen, I have. Okay. If mm-hmm. I'm honest, mm-hmm. like if it's a Facebook invite to something, a baby right. shower, a birth, whatever, like I might miss it.
Right.
And I have to be okay with that, yeah. you know, or if it's a birth announcement,
right?
Like I might miss it until I see that person in person.
Right.
And they tell me the news, you know, and I do have some people that are kind of aware and they remember, oh, Heather doesn't have that. So let me mm-hmm. text to invite her. Let me let her know. But I have to be okay with not knowing
right.
all of the things right away.
Because that in itself is kind of a sense of pride, I think, when we're in the know. And yeah. a lot of times that's connected to social media, because if it's been posted, there's an assumption that you've seen it and that you know, right? And I know even in talking to you, we've talked about this where I've said, oh yeah, I put that on social media. And you said, oh, but I don't see that, you know? And mm-hmm. and it's this awareness too, that sometimes I make an unhealthy assumption that that's really sharing it, when really that really isn't. That's only been the way it's been for a short period of time, right?
Right.
So one thing that's kind of cool that we haven't even talked about up until this point is that Heather is actually my sister-in-law. So mm-hmm. Heather is married to my younger brother. And so we've spent a lot of time together over the last 10 years and more since Heather's been a part of our family. And we've talked about this, but I think one thing that's been so sweet to see over the last couple years is to see you be freed up to be so much more present and enjoy the moments that you're in, whether it's with your kids or whether it's with our time all together when we get to spend time at holidays all together as a family. I think that hearing you talk about it is so challenging for me, and I respect you so much. And it's been neat to see your journey with that, because had somebody maybe come to you and said, hey, Heather, maybe you need to get off your phone, which it wasn't even something that I was observing, like what you've said was going on in your heart. It wasn't like, oh, I think Heather's addicted to her phone necessarily, right? But now seeing just when I spend time with you, I feel like we just sit and there's just this presence in the moment that maybe we didn't get to enjoy before, because maybe the pull of the phone was more appealing, if that makes sense, you know, or just was more yeah. just there. So another question I think maybe some people would ask is, do you miss it?
I would say 2.5 years later, no, I don't. Like, I feel very strongly that it's the best thing for me not to have
yeah.
social media. At the beginning, I definitely missed it. You know, and it's just kind of like you used the word withdraw. If I really think about it, that's likely some of the feelings I was having. Like the first time that I realized, oh man, I missed out on something fun because I don't have social media.
Right.
Or I missed out on the big news.
Right.
Because I don't have social media. I think at first I was like, man, in our world today, maybe I just need to get back on it, because that's yeah. just what everybody does. But I'm so grateful that I didn't. And I think also what helps is that my husband, Cooper, does not do social media, and he never really has. And so it was easier for me to not do it because he wasn't sitting around
right.
doing it, you know? And so, and he has always just kind of had the perspective of like, people don't need to know what's going on in my day to day, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I think that I have finally come to that point as well. People just don't need to know that. And that's good. You yeah. know, that's the best for our family. Yeah. So I would say at the beginning, it's hard. you kind of, and it was a daily choice because I could have put it back on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, that my marriage got better and stronger and more intimate and good through this hard time when I initially had gotten off kind of out of spite. When things got better and our marriage got stronger, I could have gotten back on social media and maybe just kind of tried to do it in a healthier way. But by that point, my life was better without it. And right. So I was like, I'm just not going to do it. And I'm going to kind of be different and the odd one. Yeah. And that's okay. Cause that's better.
Yeah.
You know, for and my I heart, think, for my family. So,
yeah, I think that's a really good thing to call out too, that we really do care more sometimes probably than we want to admit about kind of fitting in or about not being the odd person out. Right. And so for you to say, it is actually okay for me to be the odd man out about this, you're not protesting, you're not making big statements or even condemning people that choose to have social media. You're just saying, yeah, this is the choice that is healthy for me. And this had become toxic for me. And so these were the steps I needed to make in order to live, really live a life of freedom and not live a life where your all of your focus and your attention and your energy is divided or is stolen by something else. So I think it's neat too, because I've been learning more about boundaries recently, and to hear you talk about this is also good for me to think about how we often live boundaryless, like we live without boundaries when it comes to our phone and social media, because there's often very little accountability with it, right? If I began to eat excessively and the people that were closest to me might notice that, whereas the relationship I have with my phone, which is a relationship, right, is something that can largely go undetected and isn't usually something that people just see necessarily from day to day. But I could spend easily 3 hours at home by myself on social media, mm-hmm, and no one is necessarily going to know that. So it's like we almost have to reclaim and define the boundaries that we're going to have with our phone, because it doesn't just affect each of us individually. It affects our kids. It affects our marriage. It affects our friendships. I just think that's really healthy for us to recognize, you know?
Yeah. So. And I think because of not being on social media for the past couple of years, I am attuned and aware of how much people are on their
more
phones.
So. Yeah.
Like when you step back, or like if I'm not, like if I'm sitting at the doctor's office waiting, like I'm literally just sitting there and I might thumb through the magazine that they have
right
on the table. But if you look around, every single person is on their phone. At restaurants, I notice that when you look around at other tables, there's a lot of people sitting across from each other, yeah, that are just scrolling on their phones. And when you're both doing it, you're not thinking it anything of it, because that's
normal,
just kind of what everybody right does. But when you stop it and you're watching, wow, like I really do think that this is something that we need to be talking about. Again, not that it's evil and horrible, but just like you said, like boundaries, you need boundaries in your life. Your kids need boundaries. It's been interesting to step back and just really notice. Cause it does, like when I'm with family and somebody is just scrolling for hours and not engaging, well, I'm not doing that anymore. But listen, 3 years ago, I was the one on the couch scrolling for hours, not engaging with my family,
yeah,
on vacation. So I'm not going to stand here and look down on anybody for that. It's an important conversation to have with, yeah, the people that are close to you. You know, hey, do you notice this?
Yeah.
Or, you know, do we think this is something that we should kind of think about and change in some way?
Right.
You know, whatever that looks like for you. You know, I think it's been good conversations with my friends too, because, yeah, when you're hanging with me, I'm not going to be scrolling. So likely they're not either.
Right.
You know, like if somebody's going to put down their phone and have a conversation with you, you're going to put down your phone and have the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. I just think it's something that we all need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
And talking about.
I love that. Thank you so much for all your thoughts on this. These are sometimes uncomfortable conversations to have maybe about social media and technology and our relationship with our phones. But like you said, I think it's really necessary. And maybe if you're in a group of trusted friends that you have where you can kind of throw out the topic of how are you guys doing with this? If you're being honest with yourself, how is it affecting you? And just asking those questions. So that's really good. We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Loaded Questions, Loaded Baked Potatoes.
That was a twist.
Yeah, it was. Update in the Scarborough family. Whitney just bought some sunglasses that make her look like a 70s
hot mom.
70s disco club owner. So you guys will have to, she'll post some pictures on social media and you guys will have to.
I felt really good about them until I tried them on for you. And then now all I can see is disco fabulous.
And they're pretty disco fabulous.
But I don't know that there's any shame in that. I mean, I think most people would agree. I should post a picture of them.
let the world decide. This week's question number one is, if you chose a professional life of crime, what would you specialize in? If you were a hardcore, hardened criminal, what kind of crime would it be? White collar crime? Hmm. Would you do bank robbing? You could do like petty car thief, pit pocket. I mean, the options are endless.
Wow.
What would you do?
Okay. I actually have a really good answer for this because we just finished watching a Netflix show, which was kind of like the French Sherlock Holmes, called Lupin. And it's the tagline for Lupin is he's a gentleman's burglar. But he has this, you know, massive amount of all these costumes in his house. And so he's like master of disguise, right? And he's always one step ahead. And we just watched, there's only like two seasons or two, whatever they're called, two collections or something like that. But it's all about, I guess it is, he's a criminal in the sense that he's like stealing things, but the whole, you know, root of it is that he's avenging his dad who was framed, and I can't get away all the details, but basically it was framed. I'm just gonna say that, okay? You need to watch the series to find out. But he's framed and you don't know all the pieces until the end. And so he's avenging his father and kind of clearing his name, but in the process obviously he's having to steal some things and right some wrongs. So it's, you know, the lines are a little blurred there.
Short story long, what life of crime would you choose if you were a criminal?
Basically.
Not what's your favorite TV show right now.
I would be a master of disguise who is always one step ahead of the bad guys, basically. And like would be involved in crimes that somehow like undo or right like major corruption.
You're like a vigilante.
Well, yeah, but I'm not gonna like go out and like really hurt people or anything. I'm just talking about like, you know, right, like in the show he never harms anybody, you know. So again, I'm like, I like that because it was like I don't even think he ever had a gun. The only reason he ever swung, you know, his fist was if somebody attacked him and he was defending himself. But other than that, he never harmed anybody.
You're the not-for-profit version of a criminal. A 501c3 professional criminal.
Right. I mean, just, just the idea of, like, you know, kind of, I mean, it's like he's, I don't know, it's like he's, you root for him because, like, there's some things that he has to do that obviously he has to break some rules, but, like, the overall aim of what he's doing is good. You know, he is righting wrongs, he is fixing some major exposing some major corruption, but he can't go through all of the typical channels to do that. And so I would do the same thing. Like, you kind of have to, like, it's like subvert the system a little bit in order to right the wrongs and expose the criminals, expose the true, like, you know, like the corruption. We're talking like gang corruption, you know. But this question is so ridiculous because, I mean, I can't even think about it without laughing because...
You're the farthest person from a criminal that has ever existed.
I remember the only, like, when I was I was 6 years old, and it was a crossword puzzle. It was in the, the checkout aisle at HEB. And, yeah, it was at HEB because I remember we lived in Austin at the time, and I just saw a crossword puzzle book, and I remember being like, oh, that looks cool. I grabbed it, took it home, and we get home, and I remember I'm, like, doing the crossword puzzle on the kitchen table, and my mom's like, did you pay for that? And I'm like, no, it was just, like, a free thing, you know, like a free little brochure. And my mom's like, no, it wasn't. And so they were like, you just stole that. I was like, well, not really, because I just thought it was free. But I had to go back and basically, like, turn myself into HEB when I was 6.
Did you do any time in the clink?
I think they were probably like, okay, like, we'll give it to you. Like, they probably just let me keep it. But no, so I really feel like the thought of, like, you know, getting into trouble, like, terrifies me, so...
All right, well, that's actually a decent segue into the next question. The deep question for the week is, it's more of a moral / ethical dilemma.
Ooh.
Would you sacrifice yourself for a complete stranger? If you knew that you could step in front of a bus or a train or whatever the proverbial threat is, you could save a stranger, a complete stranger, by sacrificing yourself. Would you do it?
I think the right answer is yes. But in this moment, what I'm thinking is, no way would I do that. I'm just thinking, like, tonight, like, if we were, like, you know, going to the... you know, going out to eat, and we're in the car, and there's someone, like, on the train tracks, and I'm like, I gotta go push this person off the tracks, but I'm gonna get, like, you know, totally, like, knocked over by the train, you know, like, would I do that? I mean, would you do that? I mean, if it's my child, my parent, my husband, my, which is you,
right,
BT Dubs, but, you know, like, if it's, you know,
Joe Schmo,
best friends, like, a random person, that is really, I mean, obviously,
yeah, I think if you have to think about it, the instinctual in the moment decision would probably be no.
I mean, some people are probably really judging me right now, listening, going, wow, she is so self-centered. But you answer that yourself, listener. Would you do that? Just any random stranger? I'm not talking about people you know. We're talking about just random Joe Schmo. Might even be a criminal.
Mm.
Ooh.
Wow.
Bringing it back around.
Dang.
You know?
You got deep.
I got deep. But here, I mean, obviously, this is like, I feel like you're like about to like, preach to me the gospel and what Jesus did for us. Not that I'm a stranger to God, but to some sense, you know. Anyway, okay, we're just...
No, there's no conclusion to these segments. These are just, like, total hypotheticals.
Open-ended.
Open-ended questions. There's no spiritual application here. We're not trying to, like, do a Sunday school lesson.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, I can't help but think about that, right?
Yeah.
'Cause it's like, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, he would he would sacrifice himself for the total stranger. He already did.
He kind of did that.
He already did that, right?
But I think it would be different if there were thousands or millions of strangers that you could save with one.
Right.
Is that
like
that,
in I Am Legend?
That decision would be easier.
When Will Smith's character is like, he like, you know, jumps in, and at the very end, you know, spoiler alert, and he ends up, right? You know he doesn't make it, but he basically sacrifices himself and gets the cure to help all the people that are surviving in the world. So, yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. Because to some extent, it's like, I mean, there's so many pieces to that, right? Like, is this, I don't know, is this a person that has, it's like my calling is to my husband, my family, my ministry, right? So would that actually be the right, like the biblical wise thing to do in that moment, to sacrifice myself for someone else? When, I don't know, that's a really hard one. I don't know, I'm going to have to just trust that if that situation arises, that the Holy Spirit will make it very clear to me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know?
What if that person was like the next Hitler?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because it's like, you know that every life is valuable. It's not a question of like, is life, you know, I mean, every life is valuable. Oh man, I feel like I'm gonna get torn to shreds. People are gonna email me and be like,
raked over the coals.
I can't believe you. But I really would like to hear people's thoughts on this one. What people think. Yeah.
So listener, if you're out there, let us know what you think.
What would you do?
Yep. Would you risk your life to save Whitney? All right, thanks for joining us. That's it for this week.
To find show notes for this and past episodes, or to engage on a deeper level, you can go to wovenministry.com/podcast. If you enjoy what you hear so far, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps listeners find and share this feed. If you'd like to tell us what you enjoyed about this podcast or ask your hard question, you can call us at 512-815-2446. That's 512-815-2446. You'll simply leave a voicemail with what's on your mind, and we might just include your voice on a future episode. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown, recording and production by Tim Scarborough. I'm Whitney Scarborough, and we'll be back here with more very soon. Thanks for listening.